Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, supported by Adaptimmune Therapeutics, we had the pleasure of speaking with Allison Bedoff-Warner, MD, PhD, about the FDA approval of afami-cel for patients with advanced synovial sarcoma. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Warner discussed the significance of this approval, key findings from the pivotal SPEARHEAD-1 trial, and the importance of multidisciplinary collaboration when administering cell therapies. So, speaking about the FDA approval of afami-cel for patients with advanced synovial sarcoma, what is the significance of this approval?
I think this is another landmark moment of two this year for, you know, the approval of a solid tumor cell therapy, and I think that can't be overstated. We've seen the huge benefits that CAR T cells have had for patients with hematologic malignancies, and as solid tumor doctors, we've been sitting around waiting for the day where we could start to bring that to our patients. And so, you know, I think first and foremost to see, you know, first the approval of lifileucel and now of afami-cel for solid tumor, I mean, I think just a huge landmark. This is obviously the first engineered TCR-T cell approval. And also to see, you know, an approval specifically for synovial sarcoma brings a lot of light to a cancer that, you know, to date has not had any dedicated treatment specifically for synovial sarcoma. So, I mean, huge moment for that approval. You know, synovial sarcoma is a very small disease, but, you know, previously there were no approved treatment options that were specifically for patients with synovial sarcoma. So we use sort of standard sarcoma treatment approaches. This now is a drug that is specifically targeted to these patients, which is just, I think, really a huge step forward for the sarcoma community. There are many, many different types of sarcoma, but to have an option for patients specifically with synovial sarcoma is a huge step.
What is the mechanism of action of afami-cel, and how does this mechanism differ from that of other similar agents?
Yeah, so afami-cel is an engineered TCR T cell. So we take a naive T cell by leukapheresis and engineer on or insert in the receptor for MAGE-A4. And MAGE-A4 is a tumor-specific target that is expressed highly on synovial sarcomas and many other types of cancer, actually. So if a patient is considered for this, they need to test positive for that target to make sure that the cells would actually, you know, identify the cancer cell. And additionally, that is presented by the immune system using a specific HLA type. And so patients also need to test positive for HLA-specific markers to ensure that they have the right type of immune system, again, so that these cells can recognize the tumor cells that are being displayed. So once that they test positive for both of those markers, right, we apheresis a patient or leukapheresis a patient and then engineer these T cells in manufacturing, then give those back to a patient. And patient is first treated with lymphodepleting chemotherapy to get rid of the competing immune cells and to make the host environment more receptive to these newly introduced immune cells. And then we give the patient the afami-cel product. When that circulates, the cells are immune effector cells that are circulating looking for that target, that MAGE-A4. And when it sees that, those engineered T cells can then kill those tumor cells that show that target.
Can you briefly describe the design of the SPEARHEAD-1 trial?
Yeah, so the SPEARHEAD-1 trial was a phase 2 trial, treated 44 patients with synovial sarcoma, and then a small number of patients as well with myxoid round cell sarcoma. But we'll focus predominantly on the synovial sarcoma patients. That's where the approval is. These patients then were screened for HLA-A02, that's the specific HLA type, as well as screened to ensure that their tumor expressed MAGE-A4, that's the target, on more than 30% of tumor cells. And they were also required to have a good performance status, prior chemotherapy or appropriate first-line treatment for their sarcoma, and then measurable disease as is required for all trials. And essentially, all patients were treated with the drug. This was not a randomized trial. And the endpoints here were looking at response rate, duration of response, and then progression-free and overall survival.
And so then what key efficacy findings from cohort one of Spearhead-1 supported this approval?
The biggest, I think, support for this approval was an objective response rate of 39% in these patients with synovial sarcoma, with a median duration of response of 11.6 months. So this is a one-time treatment that patients would get and then have these ongoing, lasting responses. And the overall survival, median overall survival for patients who did respond to the treatment was actually not reached. And so, again, evidence of really good ongoing durable benefit.
What is the safety profile of afami-cel?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that we worry about with TCR T cells is cytokine release syndrome, and that can look like fevers and hypotension. 71% of the patients treated in this trial did have some degree of cytokine release syndrome, but that was very treatable. 37% of those patients did require tocilizumab, which is the standard treatment for cytokine release syndrome, and about 11% required steroids. But again, these are expected and manageable toxicities that we would expect with any cell therapy, in particular with afami-cel. Additionally, you know, as expected, patients had complications of lymphodepleting chemotherapy with low blood counts, risk of infection and bleeding. But again, these are expected and known complications of any cell therapy approach.
Overall, based on this approval, where does afami-cel fit into the synovial sarcoma treatment paradigm?
This is for patients who have had first-line appropriate first-line treatment, but really any patient who is well, has good performance status, who has synovial sarcoma should be screened for HLA typing and MAGE typing. And if they've progressed on chemotherapy, you know, really strongly encourage referral as early as possible after that first line treatment for patients to be considered for afami-cel. Patients do best with these types of treatments when they are healthy and well, and early in their course of treatment. And so the earlier we can identify these patients, the better.
What is the importance of collaboration between medical oncologists and transplanters when administering therapy such as afami-cel? And do you have any advice for your colleagues about how to strengthen this multidisciplinary relationship?
Yeah, it's a great question. And every center that's doing cell therapy for solid tumor patients is sort of tackling this at the same time. And everyone handles it a little bit differently, right? At some centers, these patients will be treated predominantly, if not exclusively, by a sarcoma service. And the transplanters or cell therapy doctors may not play a big role other than advising on the management of side effects and cytokine release. At other centers, exactly the opposite may happen, where, you know, the sarcoma doctors may refer to the transplant or cell therapy group, and that sarcoma doctors, once they determine that the patient is appropriate, may not play a huge role other than keeping track of the sarcoma, while the transplant or cell therapy group manages, you know, the actual cell therapy. At places like Stanford and the program that I help to run, you know, we have sort of a hybrid approach where the cell therapy team and solid tumor doctors, you know, work very closely together. So the sarcoma team will identify the patients, do the initial screening for MAGE and for HLA, and then refer to our solid tumor cell therapy team, where we'll do the rest of the workup that patients need, you know, echocardiograms and other things, other pre-treatment testing, and then discuss that with the transplant cell therapy group. And if we determine that the patient is safe and appropriate to proceed, then the patient's often admitted to the inpatient BMT or cell therapy group. The lymphodepleting chemotherapy is often done by that group, though we do that outpatient. And then the patient is admitted for the cell treatment and for management of toxicities, and then comes back to our solid tumor cell therapy group for management outpatient before ultimately going back to the sarcoma group. So I think there's any number of ways to manage these patients. I think the key, as you highlighted, is communication. And having a plan before you ever have a patient for exactly what the patient flow is going to look like and who's responsible for what, right? Who's responsible for initial screening of the patient and a, you know, decision from a sarcoma standpoint that that's the right next step in their treatment. who's responsible for working up the patient to ensure that they meet all the other criteria and that they're safe to get a cell therapy? Who's going to manage the toxicities of the cell therapy? And who's going to monitor the sarcoma long term? And as I said, I think that looks different at different centers. There are many groups of which I'm a part of several that are trying to help navigate this going forward as we now have multiple solid tumor cell therapies. But communication and just early planning is really the key here. Just really focusing on patients who are identified to have synovial sarcoma, screening them as early as possible, right? Even if you're planning to start chemotherapy for that patient, it's a great time to send their HLA typing and their MAGE testing so that if at some point either the patient can't tolerate chemotherapy or, you know, they start progressing, they can immediately be referred to an authorized treatment center for afami-cel. The biggest challenge is delays in treatment for these patients and not getting them the treatment that they need. And so now that this is commercially available, just any synovial sarcoma patient, you know, trying to get them screened as early as possible so that when, if and when they need this therapy, it's really truly lined up for them and they can just be referred to an authorized treatment center.
Is there any ongoing sarcoma research that you or your colleagues are involved in, or just anything in the field that you are excited about that you would like to highlight?
Certainly lete-cel, which is an NY-ESO-directed TCRT. I think we're hopeful that that may also have a future for the treatment of sarcoma from a cell therapy perspective. I think there are many things coming, but certainly, you know, lete-cel and NY-ESO is something we're particularly excited about as well.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, supported by Adaptimmune Therapeutics. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.